This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
We're back with another week of the Almost Famous Podcast. And this is a week like none other because we have some really special guests. We've had amazing guests here recently, but this episode is full of great guests, some hot topics, and of course, my co-host, Ashley Iaconetti.
Thanks, Ben. So today we got a lot of hot topics. Should we begin? Or is there something you were going to call me out on?
Yeah. No, we're not starting yet. Don't get away from this. It feels like every evening I calm down by, you know, scrolling quickly through Instagram and watching the stories of the people that I love and admire the most in my life. And Ashley, you are one of those people. That is not a secret.
Thanks, Ben. Right back at you.
You know, I view you like a sister. Like, I think that's like where my heart is. Like, I love
that's very
you deeply.
Endearing. I appreciate that.
I care about you deeply.
Thank you.
I find you to be a beautiful human inside and out. And
well, that means so much from somebody who is so extraordinarily beautiful inside and out.
And it's similar to last night. It felt similar to how I would be watching my sister. There's a video of you getting your pants pulled up by Jared, which must be marriage. And you're doing it. I don't fully understand what's happening. But I'm watching you get your pants pulled up. And there's just like this warm feeling in my heart because I see Jared's commitment to supporting you and helping you. And it makes me joyfully like giddy in the evening. But if nobody watched it, what was going on and what was I watching?
Okay. So I've always had this problem, and maybe it's not a problem because I love my body shape and I love that I have like a full butt and a tiny waist. But something that comes along with that body shape often is not being able to find jeans that fit properly. I love Good American. I will shout Good American's name from the rooftops because they are finally a brand that I can just slip my jeans up past my thighs, over my butt, and it fits perfectly around my waist without me having to get them altered. But I saw these Zara jeans. They're very 90s. They're so cool. They just had these gigantic rips and they were loose in all the 1995 places. I felt like Reese Witherspoon in Fear or something. So I had to get these. Even isn't she just the cutest in that? So I knew that they didn't fit around my waist very well. I had to go get them taken in, and they took them in maybe a little bit too much to the point that I really couldn't get them over my butt. But I wasn't going to like just retire them after I spent $75 getting them, and I love them so much. So I was like, no, I have to wear these, but it's going to require help every time I pull them up and pull them down. So the other day, Jared had to basically pick me up while having his fingers through the loops of my jeans. And then I had to like kind of hold his neck and he had to like kind of drop me into the jeans. It was kind of like if you're like, imagine putting a pillow into a pillowcase.
Right? Yeah.
And so it was such a scene. I was like, okay, when I take these things off, I'm going to videotape it. Because it took a solid minute for him to have to pull them off my legs. So I videotaped it. I thought it was pretty funny, pretty relatable. If anybody else has that similar issue. And that is love. That is marriage. And that's a big booty.
Yeah. So is there like a sense of accomplishment that Jared feels when he gets them off? Like, do
Not
you see
really.
A smile? Okay. It's just like a thing he has to do.
Like, it's almost so normal. Like, things like that are like just so commonplace now that he's like not even phased. Like, if you watch it, he's watching Superman in the background. Like, he's way more focused on Superman.
And okay. Also, this brings up an interesting topic that I've wanted to discuss with multiple women in my life. And I always forget, So say you're in a scenario where there's like an emergency
restroom. Where you have to pee?
Yeah. Okay. So there's two things I want to go with this.
Those, I was scared.
Those jeans being one, because what do you do if you're at the restaurant? And because when he finally gets the pants off, you see that you're wearing something that looks like a bathing suit.
Yeah, I had a bodysuit on.
Yeah.
So shout out to Lonnie the Label by Amanda Stanton.
Yeah. Good for her. But like, this isn't just one layer of trickiness. There's two, because then you have something that like literally connects your whole body. So here's my question for you. Between that and I think it's called a romper, like the full body romper things, how in emergency situations does one go about their business successfully without causing a scene or needing to completely change in the restroom?
Fantastic question, Ben.
Thank you.
So when you're wearing like a jumpsuit, which is kind of like a romper but a pants edition, you basically get naked in the stall.
So that you sounds have to, like, so unsanitary.
Well, I don't know that it's unsanitary. It's just awkward because, like, if somebody were to, like, peek through the cracks of a public restroom, they would just see, like, this naked girl squatting.
Unbelievable.
A romper in – this is what I do. And maybe a lot of girls are going to be like, what the hell? But I just pull it to the side when I pee.
There's so much there that could go wrong.
Oh, yeah, you can definitely get pee on your romper, but even if, like, what's a couple sprinkles?
The cost of beauty.
But I don't do it. I don't sprinkle. I wouldn't sprinkle. And then in this case where you're wearing way too tight of pants, that's one of those instances where people are probably going to think you're pooping in the public restroom, but you're really just trying to get them off and on.
Like you're, like, grunting, you're jumping up and down, you're pulling it down.
Yeah, time commitment.
Holy moly.
I don't think I could have gotten those off myself, though. So I knew when I went to dinner that it was going to be like, you cannot pee and like make yourself a little dehydrated if possible.
Wow. Yeah. There's just a lot going on here.
Fashion.
I'm always learning something. You know what I did this weekend? I went to a Halloween party that was Renaissance and Harry Potter themed.
Wait, why a Halloween party so soon?
I don't know. Just
I mean, I don't mind it.
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, it was just like one of my friend's wives wanted to throw a Halloween party, you know, a month in advance. And there was only like 10 people there. I think it was like a super small group.
Okay, well, that's good.
I didn't wear a costume. I was the only one. So like I was one
Ben,
out of 10. I know. I have issues. I have given up my Renaissance days based on, you know, my new life.
Oh, my God.
But
I love the theme. It's so great.
But here's what happened. So because, like, there's only a few amount of people there, and I think typically she throws a huge party, like a massive celebration. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to, like, not have fun. Like, she still wanted to go all out. And so she bought a bouncy castle, like a massive bouncy castle. And nobody was getting in it. And so my buddy and I decided to jump around in the bouncy castle. For anybody out there listening, I don't know the last time you jumped on a, like, something. I don't know if it's, like, if it's a bouncy castle, if it's a trampoline, or if you just, like, jumped around in your yard for a bit. Mm-hmm. You will never feel so out of shape and so
old
than spending 1 minute. Like, as a kid, you could bounce, you could jump, you could fall, you get back up, you could tackle your buddies. I did it for 2 minutes. My buddy and I did not. This is not an exaggeration. He gets out of the bouncy castle and throws up next to it.
Shut up.
And there was no adult beverages at play. It is just simply the fact that my heart raced to a level I haven't felt in 20 years. It was aggressive. It was unique.
That's not shocking. The throw up is hilarious. But I totally know what you mean. Getting on a trampoline looks just like exhaustion to me. There's no sense of fun there anymore. And a bouncy castle, those things, like, they get you so low. You know, like, there's so much jump. There's so much height to the jump there.
Yeah, nothing calls my name more than, since I don't have an ACL, I tore it years ago. A couch calls my name. But a bouncy castle, my knee is like hyperextending on itself every time.
Yes.
Nothing just makes me feel like a couch. A couch sounds great. Anyways, hey, that's our weekends. We're happy to be back with you. We're happy to be breaking down everything going on in Bachelor Nation. There are things going on. We'll bring in Mike Johnson here in just a little bit, so make sure you tune in for that. Before we get to Hot Topics, let's take one break. When we come back, we're going to break down everything going on in Bachelor Nation. Matt James begins filming season 25 of The Bachelor. See you all in 2 months, he says.
Nothing juicy here, guys. Just a fact of the matter that the season has begun. I don't think we can confirm where they're shooting yet, but if you guys do want to do a little quick search online, you can find out.
So, Ashley, as we prep now for getting closer to the season of The Bachelorette, that there hasn't been anything released, to my knowledge, yet on the details of this season. Then knowing that just, you know, in a few months, Matt's going to be off filming The Bachelor. We're going to have another season pretty quickly following. Like, how excited are you? It feels like it's been forever.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really fun. And I can't help but think of how excited I am for the producers to be done filming this season, because they have gone nonstop since, we'll say June, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they are going 5 months, six months completely straight. And that's something that they never really have to experience. So I'm excited for them to be able to have a holiday break once it gets here.
Yeah. You know, and that's I think it's an interesting note that we've brought up before, but just a good reminder for all of us. Like, when it comes to first responders, when it comes to any essential workers, when it comes to anybody now trying to put entertainment on, or any industry that's trying to make this period of time work for them, there are huge sacrifices that are being taken place. Like, there are producers on the show, there are sound guys on the show. You know, if you hear the word producer out there, you're listening, you're like, oh, Bachelor producers, they're all terrible. Well, then let's go to the sound people. Let's go to the cameramen. Let's go to the people behind the scenes.
Yeah.
There are people who have just had babies, but this is the way they put food on the table and pay for their families. And now, for the last few months, they have literally been in quarantine without being able to see these people.
We keep talking NBA, hockey, right? Yeah. Well, these people are quarantining away from their families for months at a time as well.
It's an important reminder. There's a lot to be grateful for when things are given up, like you know, the time with the family. I think you'd become more grateful for your time spent. But as fans, as listeners, whatever, we have to realize that people are making huge sacrifices, not just in entertainment, not just in sports, but all over the place, to make sure that this world still functions at a level that's suitable for all of us. So, anyways, shout out to The Bachelor. They are filming. Matt James is gone, and we're looking forward to his season just as much as we are looking forward to The Bachelorette. Well, speaking of Bachelorettes, I think I could easily say the queen, the favorite, one of the favorites. Most people love this person, Caitlin Bristow. We're watching her right now on Dancing with the Stars. She is still on the show. She's doing great. But last week, she had a battle to go through, and that was a battle with pain. She suffered from an ankle injury. Ashley, what's the updates?
There's not much update right now. She had an MRI on Thursday. Okay. She was scared about getting the MRI because those can be super claustrophobic, but she didn't have to have her head in, which is good. But she's just super anxious about getting the medical results back.
And she hasn't gotten back yet, huh?
Yeah, so she doesn't have the results of the MRI back, but as of the recording of this podcast, she is at the Dancing with the Stars set getting her makeup done, so it looks like she's going to be dancing tonight. I guess the issue here is that she's had very little rehearsal time, so I think she's very anxious about the fact that her dance probably won't be as well rehearsed as she's been able to do the past couple of weeks and as much as everybody else has been doing. So you guys make sure to vote for Caitlin. We know that her ankle is, she's still in pain. It's getting better with the days, she said, which is a good sign.
So do we know from Dance with the Stars, like, where does Caitlin typically stand when it comes to votes and rankings? Is she typically very safe, or is she on the fringe?
She's not on the fringe at all. She's getting sevens and eights both weeks. So, I mean, I think she's going to be safe regardless of how obvious her injury is, mm-hmm. because the fan vote is just going to
skyrocket her.
Yeah. And I don't know how the judging works. If the judges know that there's an injury present, like, are they easier or are they, are they easier on them? Did they give them any sort of slack, or are they kind of like, it's your decision to be out there dancing?
I don't know. I that's a good question. I don't know if they've even said, or if there is a precedent for that. Is Carol Baskin still on the show?
Yeah, but she was in the bottom two last week. Okay. And I think the judges made the decision to keep her.
Okay. So, like, her time isn't long probably now.
I don't think so. Well, I'm actually surprised because I thought she'd have a lot of fan vote too. Did you see that the husband, you know, the husband yeah. that we all know has passed away somehow over what was it, like over a decade ago. They paid to have an ad run during Dancing with the Stars the first week against Carol. Yeah,
I saw that. That's an aggressive move. Not cheap move either to have primetime ABC commercial space. So
no.
Statements are being made. Dance with the Stars is airing this week. Make sure you go vote for Caitlyn and support her Bachelor Nation. Okay, next headline is one from somebody that we will be talking to in just a bit. And we get more info on this later on. But it says, Mike Johnson would never return to Bachelor in Paradise. This is according to Us Weekly.
Yeah, that's interesting to me. We'll have to get the answer from him. But he said, everyone involved, including Mike Fleiss, has been wonderful to me. Freaking awesome people. I would not do Bachelor in Paradise ever again, probably. It's just not my cup of tea. He also is, you know, talking about his new book, which we will talk about later.
So Mike Johnson has a book. He has a lot going on. I do want to dig into this a bit. I feel like he's like well suited for Paradise. Like I just think he fits there. He's a likable guy. He's a good looking guy. He could show up to the beach and meet some of these new people. But we'll figure out what he's all about and why he's saying no to Bachelor in Paradise, at least for right now, when we bring him on here after the commercial break. Now, this week, Ashley, we are going to talk to Sean Lowe and Catherine in an in-depth episode. That
yes!
will be airing into the week. Super pumped for that.
Very excited.
They're going to be great. They're obviously, they've been in our headlines for the last few weeks now. We've been talking about them. This week's headline is a little different. Catherine responds and starts opening up about how she feels about Sean Lowe not initially picking her. This according to Us Weekly as well.
Okay, so I'm like initially picking her. She's putting herself in the shoes of, say, the Mesniks. If he were to ever pick somebody else and then went back to Catherine, she said that she'd be pissed, that it would take a while for her to get over it, and Sean would never live it down. I feel her.
You get it. You definitely get it. Well, next headline is The Bachelor's Tinley Molzon welcomes daughter Rel James. Absolute perfection, and I quote.
Yep, she is stunning. What a beautiful baby. She said that we've been completely captivated and swept off our feet in love with our precious baby girl. We haven't gotten around to introductions. She said this when she was first born, I think about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago now. And by following Tenley's Instagram, she's been making all the family introductions, the aunts, the uncles, the grandparents, the cousins, all that stuff this week, and showing off this beautiful little girl her and husband Taylor had this month.
I mean, two good-looking people having a good-looking baby. Not
so
shocked.
Cute.
Not shocked. Well, speaking of one of our favorites, we have to give a congratulations, but also some breaking news, unexpected news, maybe I should say. Bachelor alum Leslie Ann Murphy is, yes, I'll say it, she's pregnant, expecting her first child with fiance Alex. This also according to Us Weekly.
Yeah, she posted this on Instagram yesterday. She said, baby Kavanaugh taking flight in 2021. Finally someone to occupy the middle seat.
Oh, great.
Her boyfriend, it says, at drone pilot, her fiance, and I couldn't be more excited to grow our little family. She played the Ronettes, Be My Baby, in the background of this. So really, really cute. Congratulations to her.
I feel like there's been a lot of baby news in Bachelor.
It's a girl. Like, all these girls.
I know.
I want a girl. And I'm like, Jared, there's so many baby girls in Bachelor Nation. There's no way we're going to have a girl first.
Well, yeah, because the genetics in Bachelor
that's
Nation.
That's how it works,
yeah,
right?
It all works that way, right? It does. Super exciting for both of them. I mean, we've had some amazing baby news over the last few weeks here on the podcast with babies, you know, who started out needing extra care in the hospital, who have came
Should
home
we go
healthy.
Through a list?
I mean, I don't know if you have the list in front of you, but it is. Yeah, go
Liz.
Ahead.
So it was Liz. We had Tenley, and now we have Leslie. We had Courtney. Can you think of anybody else from this year? That's four.
I can't. I mean, when was Tanner and Jade's last child born?
Well, Tanner, you're right. There's a good one. So the next one will be born in November.
It's incredible. I mean, just a lot of babies happening. I mean, hey, but let's be honest. I guess this wouldn't be, I was going to say quarantine probably had some people having babies, but this wouldn't be quarantine babies.
This wouldn't, Leslie's would be.
What about Britt Nielsen? Did she have a child
this
year?
Oh, Britt Nielsen. Yes, good job.
Thank you. That's a big one. Yeah, that's a big one. And there's just a lot to celebrate in Bachelor Nation. Life is being born. We will always celebrate that. Hey, final headline here. Hannah Brown hits the water in a bikini with some Bachelor besties to celebrate her birthday. Hey, before we go in this headline, I do have to take a note. I just Googled it, and Becca Martinez also had a baby this year.
Duh. Good job.
That's
yes.
huge.
Okay. Yeah, so not a real juicy story here, but Hannah Brown did turn 26 this weekend, and she was joined by Demi and Hannah G on what looked like a fabulous yacht in the LA area over the past couple days. She had like kind of like a week-long celebration. I know she did some Zoom birthday party with some Bachelor fans.
Yeah, they're on a yacht, and I'm in a bouncy house sweating my brain off. We don't live the same life. But the point is, there's just a lot of babies being born in Bachelor Nation. We're going to take a break. When we come back, during break, we're going to Google all the children being born in Bachelor Nation this year, because I'm sure we missed some. But when we come back, we're going to have Mike Johnson on the podcast talking about his recent project, along with his dating life, and what his new roommate and him will be up to in Austin, Texas. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have Mike Johnson.
Okay, so the Bachelor babies that we did forget were Becca Martinez, Jenna Cooper, Travis Stork, and Kelly Travis. If we are missing any from this list, let us know.
As hinted at in the beginning of the podcast, and a consistent person on the Almost Famous podcast, we've also done an in-depth episode with this human who you should go back and listen to. We have up next in the Almost Famous podcast, Mike Johnson. Mike, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Ashley, for having me back. I feel like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I feel like I'm a part of the family
you're
now.
You're a regular. Almost Famous podcast. You are a friend of the podcast.
You are.
Yeah, I feel like a friend of the pod.
I agree. I was thinking the same thing earlier. So you, I remember last time you were here, you were talking about maybe moving. And you've decided to make that leap. You're in Austin?
Yes, Connor and I are moving to Austin. Let's go.
Connor who? Just so, I mean, Connor Saley, right? Who was on the show with you.
Yes, Connor Saley. He won our season of The Bachelorette.
Wait.
Did he win that
so
season?
So confused, people.
Yeah. The guy that won it, you know, in most people's hearts. That guy is a good-looking fella. He's nice. He's kind. He has his own stuff going. How did you two decide to live together? Have you stayed friends throughout the last couple months?
Yeah, man. I think that, quite honestly, our alumni, the Bachelor alumni, is, I think, for the most part, are pretty cool people. And Connor lives in Dallas. I live in San Antonio, but my family's from Dallas. And so I would always go up to Dallas, and Connor and I would always try to kick it, hang out, some workouts together, and do some business things together. And, I mean, we've just naturally continue to come together. I mean, even on the show, we were bunkmates every step of the way. Mm-hmm. He left, and then I left the next day. I mean, we're like, it was meant to be.
Aww. When was the last time you lived with a roommate?
Yeah, Ashley, great question, because that I swore I would never do it again. Yeah. And like, my last is my best friend to this day. He's a great human being. But like, when you live with somebody, you know, like, you can't do certain things no more, right? Yeah. So the last time I had a roommate, I was 20 years old. It was right before going into the military. And so actually, funny story about that. Mm-hmm. I was in community college at the time. I came home and I told my roommate at the time, his name's Bryson, he's like my best homie in the world. And I said, bro, I'm joining the military. I'm joining the Air Force. He was like, man, don't join the military, bro. Don't do that. Next thing I know, he up and left before I left to the military.
So, look at you being all influential.
I know, right?
In the best way, yeah.
Mike, what's one thing you're going to have to give up with a roommate that you don't want to have to give up?
Ben, Man, I'm not going to lie. I tell people all the time to, I can't believe I'm saying this. When you're feeling down or sad or depressed or anything, run around the house butt naked listening to your favorite music and screaming at the top of your lungs. I don't want Connor to get jealous. I can't do it no more.
I was going to say, you don't have to stop. I don't know what's holding you back, buddy.
I was literally going to say, I feel like Mike is the kind of guy who likes to walk around the house naked.
100%. 1,000,000%. But, you know, I still have a room to do that in. You know, I still can do my thing in my room, just lock the door.
There's so many questions I can ask about, like, having a room, like, just getting a new roommate. Like, how are you guys going to deal with food? Like, are you going to, like, think about, like, are you going to ask each other, what do you want for dinner every night? Or is it going to be, like, we do our own separate grocery shopping?
No, that's, see, I don't, that would never come, I'm going to speak for Connor and I. That's something we don't have to ask each other. Okay. It's like, no, that question is like, no. It's like, bro, I'm cooking some healthy food. You want some, you know. We don't even ask. It's just like we're both always hungry.
What is one thing that you can foresee being annoyed about Connor with?
Without even a thought. Connor is a beautiful human being, but the boy is junky. Mm. Like his counter. Oh, my God. When he stayed here at my place for, you know, like a week or so, and Connor loves to work out. And that's one reason why I'm so happy to move in together, because he's going to be like a positive influence on me. But the dude needs to pick up after himself. So that's going to be a nuance for me.
So the final roommate question, and I think this is one that even I'm experiencing with my fiance as we start to talk about getting married and where we're going to live.
Shout out to Jess.
Yeah, shout out to Jess. I think the one thing that can break roommates, I think you can make it happen and work together. I think it's awesome and I don't know if I could do it again, but I'm happy for you. It's a bathroom. So are you going to have to share a bathroom? Do you have your own individual bathrooms? Because sharing a bathroom could ruin you too.
Absolutely.
You're 100% on the money. Like, seriously, like the bathroom is like a sacred place. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not, like, once I move in with a lady again, you know, I'm in a relationship, the moment that I could take a crap and she's in the bathroom at the same time, that means love forever, right?
So you're okay with that? I'm not okay with that. We've talked about this on the podcast before. Maybe even before you were even on the show. You would be okay seeing your lady poop?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, we love. We're like, we're growing together. I'm cool with that.
I don't want to see myself poop.
Oh, I mean, I don't want to see the wiping part, but, you know, outside of that, I'm good.
Like, oh, my gosh. All right.
While you're sitting, I'm okay.
Well,
but Ben.
I was talking more about the counter.
We have our own bathroom.
I was more of the counter
guy.
Our
own bathroom. Yeah. Own bathroom, bro. We don't got to worry.
Good. Good. Well, Mike, you have some stuff going on right now that we got to dive into and talk about. Not only do we love catching up on your life, but you also have recently came out with a book called Making the Love You Want. You know, instead of me trying to explain it to everybody, how about you just tell our listeners what this is about, what they can look forward to?
Me being extremely authentic and transparent. There is so much more than a smile. There is so much more than you being the bachelor. There is so much more than Ashley and Jared, right? And in my book, you will learn so much more about me, things that are 100% unflattering, but I feel that that's me standing in my power, and that's the goal that I want everyone to have when reading my book and when going through my book and, you know, working through my book, is knowing that we all have self-limiting beliefs, but we're going to shatter every single self-limiting belief. And the unflattering things I talk about in my book, it was hard for me to say, I want to be a success when I was doing incredibly ignorant things. But those were all self-limiting beliefs that I had upon myself, right? And for us to stand up in our power. And I remember I did an IG Live 2 days ago with a lady named Sarah. Like, I really care about our extended family. That's what I call our fans. And Sarah was telling me, she does calligraphy. And she was telling me that, I asked her a question in regards to a piece of calligraphy that she did for Breonna Taylor, and I was incredibly moved by it. And so I said, why did you start calligraphy? And she told me that that was how she found her voice. That was how she found her way to stand in her power. And so my book is simply giving you the keys to finding your own power, to knowing that you are beautifully made in God's creation and that you're an awesome human being. Let's do it.
Can you give us one of those keys right now, just as a teaser?
Can I give you one of those keys right now? I should give you a book right now as a teaser. I would say today, literally, I want you to look in your mirror that you have, not the same bathroom, Ben, with Jess, but look into a mirror that you have. And I want you to write down three things that you love about yourself. So for example, for me, what I would do is I would say that the people that know me individually know that I'm pretty damn caring. So I would say I'm a caring person. I would say that all my friends that know me know that when I say something, I will do it. I stick with things to the end. That would be the second thing I would say. And the third thing I would say is I legit love making people smile, right? And so what we do with this, I have a mirror. It's a mirror that I look at every single day. I write down my goals, right? As mirrors get a little bit dirty over time. And it's the same thing within our life. In our life can get cluttered and, you know, we start to lose sight of who we are. But once you talk positive to yourself, once you clean that mirror off, you can see who you are at your core again.
That's awesome.
So that would be
I love it.
A quick one right
why,
there.
Why, out of all the topics that you could write about, why this one?
Ben, I got to say, I'm loving the hair, man. I'm loving the hair.
Me too. Love it long.
I love you, bro. I just had to say. But why, out of all topics, talk about this topic? Great question. I think people like, bro, you're on the TV. Just talk about TV. That's all we care to hear about you. And to me, just like all of us, there's so many different sides of us. And this is a side that is I'm most passionate about. I 100% with all of my being believe that if you make someone else happy, you make someone else smile, it makes you happy in return. It makes the world a better place. And I think quite honestly right now, we all agree the world could be a better place, right? Mm-hmm. And so a part of that is starting with ourselves and knowing that we are capable of amazing things, except for Ben doing his hair this morning.
Yeah, I didn't do my hair this morning. In fact, Mike, I've been running my hands through it all day and it's standing up at different points.
I love it.
What, as a listener out there, they obviously care about you. They respect you. Leaving this book outside of giving them the power back and making them feel better, what do you hope they gain?
I hope people gain a concrete, a marble, a diamond. Let's stick with diamond because that's the strongest force to man. I hope that people have a diamond understanding that you can, and they fill in the blank. I'll leave it as simple as that. It's like my book. I don't define what self-love is. I let the individual define what that is themselves. I give lots of examples and I talk about it and I talk about what it means to me. But I want people to have a diamond knowing that if you love yourself, there is not nothing that on this earth that you cannot do. You can have those courageous conversations like I have with my mother about my book and talking about it, which was incredibly hard for me to do, mm-hmm. You know, talking to her about when my babysitter sexually harassed me, right? Or talking to her about how it made me feel when I had MRIs and CAT scans because I was lashing out at my mother, you know? When I did some illegal things that I told you about offline that are pretty embarrassing for me. To have those courageous conversations, know that you're a diamond and we're all made wonderful. We just have to, you know, go out and seek it. I feel like I'm preaching right now. Like I'm not normally this guy, right? This isn't a side of me, this isn't a side that people have seen of me. This is all of me. And it's just, it's cool to show this side of me. I like it personally.
Yeah. I know that when we did the in-depth, you talked about a very dark period of your time where you honestly didn't leave the house for about a year. When you go look back and think about that guy, like how cool is it to see where you are now and what you're writing about?
It makes me smile. It's awesome because that guy was like, I lost like 25 pounds. I grew my hair out like crazy. My savings account 100% depleted and went to zero. having thousands in the bay, to literally throwing up when I went back out and saw people. Wow. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. For me, as everyone knows me as like this super jovial individual, thank you, Ashley, for bringing it up. When I came out of that period of time, I literally hyperventilated and threw up because I was around people, right? It's just blasphemy to me. It's crazy. It's obnoxious. And to be here right now, I would just tell that dude again, bro, you're a diamond. You are strong. You are going to get through this. You are absolutely made for this. And it's just amazing to be here in this position right now to go from that to this.
Ben talks about in his book about just the importance of connection and how, like, it's just so tempting to kind of retreat to your hole and just be alone, but that is just going to make everything you're feeling worse. So I like, you guys need to like have some little like book joining moment here.
Oh, I absolutely want to. I honestly was going to bring up Ben's book while being on this podcast with you guys. I think that it is so easy. Ben's absolutely right. It's so easy for us to go into our hole, mm-hmm. right? That's why in dating, I'm so big on communication, because in dating, a lot of the times, and I'm using this as an example, you know, people know it's from a dating show, right? And so I'm using this example. In dating, when we feel down and or hurt from our partner and or we hurt them, there are so many times where we just want to withhold and just retreat. And that's not good. And the same thing happens with ourselves, right? When I was in my deep period of time where I spent like literally a year of my life in a hole, right? I call it to myself, I say I was in prison. I imprisoned myself. Mm-hmm. And that's not good. No. You know, it's not, there. You know, no one wins from that situation. No one, not you or the people that you can impact in a positive manner.
Mike, tell us a little bit about the writing process. When did you start? What was your kind of technique for walking through it and making sure that the words that you put on paper matched what you were feeling and wanting in your heart?
Yeah, so when you just said that, I'll tell you what happened to me when you said those words. I kind of took a deep breath because I was reliving what I call emotional homework. That's what me and my editor call it. Mm-hmm. She would asked me like some really hard questions, and I'm like, damn, that's rude. But it was needed for me to go into such a deep place. And so, Ben, to answer your question, I'm not a writer by trade, right? I think that I've written an amazing book. I hope that you guys, you know, feel the same way after you read it. And if not, please tell me how I can get better. But I would say that I spent a lot of writing time, Ben, in the wee hours of the morning. I don't know why. I think it's just because I feel like the world is asleep and the world can't hear my thoughts. And so
that's an interesting way of
it was subconscious for me to be up at 3:33 in the morning, you know, writing down my deepest things and or my most vulnerable moments and how I would talk to my best friend in the entire world. And so for me, it was literally just writing in the middle of the night. If I felt that I had writer's block, I would just stop writing. There was the beauty of being self-published is that I have no time limit, right? It's my book. I do what I want when I want. And so I would really walk away, get up, take a nap, go BS, do something else. And then I would come back to it. And I would have conversations with friends about real stuff, not about people, not about what's going on in the news, what are Kim Kardashian doing, but about real things that's affecting their lives, affecting my lives. And via those conversations, you know, I'm able to ascertain knowledge.
So to close up here, Mike, thanks for sharing all that. And I know people are out there anxious and waiting to get their hands on this. When does it come out? Where can they find it? And how can they best access this book that you have beautifully created?
Thank you, man. I feel like I just want to hug you guys. I'm just really happy to see you guys.
Oh, you're so sweet. You're so cute.
Well, I'd hug you back, man. 100%.
You can go purchase my book on MikeJohnsonSmile.com. Sign up for my newsletters. It'll also be on Amazon. My book is called Making the Love You Want. My face is on the cover of my book because this book is so much bigger than me. And I want people to know that. It comes out October 2nd, this Friday, World Smile Day, not just America Smile Day, not just Mike Johnson Smile Day, but World Smile Day. Let's do it.
So, you know, we can't let you go without talking about some Bachelor related things. You recently said that despite respecting and loving the whole production crew, you have no desire to go back to Bachelor in Paradise. So can you explain why?
Yes. I'm glad you said that. I really am glad that you said it, because some people have like come at me when I've said things that have not been the most flattering in regards to the franchise. And I appreciate you saying that, because I have all the love in the world for our franchise, right? I love you guys. I love our franchise. You, of all people, know I'm very honest, though. Mm-hmm. And the reason I don't want to go on Paradise again is because I don't feel like that's the best form for me to find my love. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, the point of going on the show isn't to gain IG following. Mm-hmm. The point of going on the show is to find your love. And that's why I haven't been opposed to when people ask the question about being the lead, because I like that realm more so. Mm-hmm. I like being on The Bachelorette more so than Paradise. I feel like Paradise to me was, it felt like high school popularity contest.
Well, I understand. I felt that Paradise, even though it's where I found my love, it was far more emotional. It's just like kind of like a wrecking process. But when I look back on being on The Bachelor, it was just fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot lighter.
100%. A lot lighter. 100% agree with that. Yeah. So much lighter. And yeah, that's why. I mean, it's not for me, but what's not for me doesn't mean it's not for you. Obviously, you found a wonderful guy in Jared on there who has the best jaw in the world, right?
Thank you.
So, yes, he does.
He's a yes, he does. It's just... It's not for me. Now, of course, I'll just leave it like that.
Now, if they did Summer Games, because Summer Games was canceled, Ben and I know that that's a lot different than Bachelor in Paradise. It's a lot more casual. It's just kind of like, if it happens, it happens. It just doesn't feel like, it kind of feels like you're there to be friends first and foremost and to like have fun with competitions. Would you do something like Summer Games or Winter Games again? Or ever? Not again. You didn't do it.
No, that's up my alley, because like when I go on a first date with a woman, some things that I want to do is just be lighthearted, be fun, do an activity to where like I'm trying to see like, you know, your comfort zone, right?
Yeah.
I might take you to iFly, right? Indoor skydiving, mm-hmm. because it's fun. It's an activity. We're like friends in comparison to having an interview deep questionnaire for 6 hours straight.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, like, what makes you laugh? That's what I want to know, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So you guys, it's not the end of possibly seeing Mike Johnson on the show.
Yeah. Don't get too sad yet. You know, he could be back possibly one day somehow.
Based on this conversation, based on this conversation, it sounds like you are still single. Can you like let us in on like the last time you went on a date? What kind of, has there been any little spark since we've last seen you on the show?
I feel comfortable telling you guys, someone just stayed with me here in my place, and it wasn't Connor.
Oh.
They stay for multiple days.
Oh, okay. So there's someone. There's someone. But what city is she from? Is she going to have to be traveling? Interesting.
I don't know.
All right. Well, thanks for giving us that tease.
There's that
and thanks
smile,
for opening
though.
Our heart.
Big old smile on that guy's face right now. Something happened. I don't know what. I don't want to make assumptions, but something happened and that guy's smiling.
National Smile Day, October 3rd. Mike Johnson's book comes out. Make sure to get it on Amazon or MikeJohnsonSmile.com.
Making the Love You Want by Mike Johnson. Mike, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Love you guys. Have a great day.
See you, love you. Bye.
It's always good to catch up with Mike. But we also love catching up with you. We're going to break down some listener emails. Please email us, continue to email us your thoughts, your opinions, your concerns to Ben and Ashley at iHeartMedia.com. But also follow us on Instagram at @almost_famous_podcast. We will be updating that Instagram every week. and kind of teasing the episodes and also breaking down any further content needed.
Yeah, you guys can DM us. You could DM us questions too. But we love having these little behind-the-scenes questions to answer for you guys every week. So keep them coming.
First email is from Shawnee. Is it true that producers track the contestants' menstrual cycles and schedule their one-on-one interview when they are most likely to be hormonal, emotional wreck? Ashley, I don't know about this. You got this one.
I think this has to be some sort of fake news. I don't know where you heard this, Shawnee. Now I'm wondering, did I ever fill out a questionnaire about when my last period was? That would be insane.
I didn't.
I don't. What?
I never did.
Oh, no. You never filled that out?
No.
I don't know. I mean, like, maybe we did during, like, we don't do a physical, but we do, like, have to get blood drawn and stuff. And in that paperwork, I may have filled something out. But you guys, they schedule interviews with you, one-on-one interviews every single day. So it's not like they're like, oh, but this is the one that we're going to get and it's going to be super good. I don't really believe this. That would be really extra. I mean, I guess I wouldn't rule it out, but like, I don't think they revolve the schedule around periods.
The Bachelor isn't as like dark and twisted as like you might think. It's not. It's like very much okay. It's not like I don't feel unsafe going on the show. I don't feel like they're trying to ruin me. I never felt that way.
Well, I mean, the number one behind the scenes question I get asked is, do they try to throw alcohol down your throat? And I'm like, no, not at all. Never once did they say, like, can I get you something? Like, if you want something, you could be like, oh, can you grab me a mimosa? I'd love that. Thank you. But they're never like, I think you could use another one. It's not like they're in the fact of like there's an open bar in the interview room. People make it seem like there's like they have a bar cart in the interview room. No.
I actually remember them like telling me no often. Like if I was like, hey, can I get a drink for this interview? They'd be like, nah, like not tonight. You got an early morning. Like I remember them saying that. I never remember them going, hey, you should have like a few shots before you talk to us tonight. Like,
no.
That never happened.
And honestly, I never needed the social. Like once you get into this, like this, the regimen of interviewing so often and opening up your heart and being so vulnerable, you don't need alcohol to be vulnerable or to cry or anything like that.
Ashley, you're yes.
Not I that agree. I ever.
Yeah.
Did.
I was gonna say.
Not that I ever did.
Hey, next email is one that we want to broach because we appreciate this person coming in. We're going to keep it anonymous, but we do appreciate this email and the vulnerability behind it. I think we can answer it to the best of our abilities, but the listener writes, my husband recently admitted to me that he had a sexual attraction to another woman that we know for the past 6 years. He told me that he's never acted upon it, and I do believe him. He's been brutally honest with me and very communicative. He told me that he loves me so much and he feels satisfied with our relationship, but still has an attraction to this person. We plan on entering therapy together, but I guess I feel like I don't know how to move forward from here. If it's been this long, it's clearly not going away. How can I ever feel confident? How can I ever stop wondering if he's thinking about her when we're intimate together? I'd appreciate any advice from both of you on how you battled those insecurities and feelings like you're enough for your spouse. So I don't think Ashley and I have maybe entered into this exact scenario, but I think the last sentence is relatable to all of us. Not feeling enough and having insecurities within a relationship. Those are things that all of us have felt and that we've had to work through. Ashley, do you want to kind of broach this first or do you want me to try?
I want you to try.
So how I go about this is, one, there is, with all we know here, there is an honesty that is admirable on his part to open up to you and tell you this. I think in a partnership, in fact, I'll go about it this way. I have one of my best buddies admitted this to his wife, not in a 6 years, but he said, hey, I'm realizing I'm having eyes for other people and I don't like it and I don't want this, but I need to tell you this so that you can help me through it. And she did. She owned that with him and said, hey, what do I need to do? What can we do together to help you get through this, because this isn't something that I know you want. I know you don't want to be looking at other people. I know you don't want to be thinking about this about other people, and it's better for our relationship. So there is a partnership here that I think is admirable on both of your parts, to stay together, but also for him to be communicative. I want to be honest. I don't think this is super uncommon. Now, I don't know to the extent that the sexual attraction happened. I don't know that scale and what was thought of, but I don't think it is uncommon for people, in relationships to at times go, wow, that person is incredibly attractive. Now, acting upon it is different. And then letting your mind go to a place that's unhealthy, is a boundary that personally I think would be healthy to set.
So, yeah, that's where I feel like I have a little something to say. I mean, I'll go out with my girlfriends and we'll talk. I'll be like, oh, he's hot. Like, we'll talk about hot guys still, dude, because I'm married. I'm not blind. Mm-hmm. But it means that, like, you find them attractive, but you don't have any intent or desire to act on that attraction. And I also think there's a difference between acknowledging, like, oh, that person's hot, they're fun to look at, versus I'm daydreaming about that person. Like, I'm thinking about that person romantically. And I think that's what our listener's husband is doing for such an issue.
And let's go with that, because I don't know, right? That this doesn't go into enough detail for us to know this. However, here's my advice to you. And it sounds like you're doing it from your email. You have to communicate. And I think an open line of communication within this is necessary. I think if I was your husband who had admitted this to you and you told me as we were intimate together that, hey, you're worried about what I'm thinking about or who I'm thinking about, I think you should tell him that. And I think a good partner with an understanding partner especially would look at you and go, I get why, because this was something that I put on you and this is a weight I put on you, and let's work through this. You might need more validation now than maybe you would if this was never said to you. There's insecurities that have came up because of his openness to you that you never thought you'd have to deal with. And a partnership, I would just imagine that both people are better when there is that open line of communication, because you're only doing it. I mean, the goal is that you're doing it to mend and to get back to a place of healthiness and happiness and fulfillment and joy within your relationship. And if that is the intent with your communication, then I don't think much can go wrong. I think that if you're speaking to him and communicating with him and saying, hey, I'm worried about this, and I'm only worried about it because I want you to want me, and I want you to desire me, and I want you to think about me, ask him. Let him respond. But I do also want you to know that you should feel confident in your relationship, because you two are together, and you're trying to work it through, and you are desirable, and you are desired. And for that, I think Ashley and I are wishing you the best. This is tough.
Yeah.
This isn't easy, but but if you're feeling alone and like you're the only one out there experiencing this, I can promise you that this isn't an isolated event, that this isn't uncommon. It doesn't take away from the pains that you're feeling, but this isn't uncommon.
Yeah. And I wish that I had more advice on this, especially since this person probably reached out being like, Ashley must have insecurities because of the way that Ashley and Jared's relationship started. I don't really have a lot. And a lot of it just healed over time. And I think that it's just like, it's just as simple as being open and honest, giving it time, and just, yeah, what Ben said, the fact that he's wanting to work through this, it should be a great sign for you.
Hey, what a podcast. We appreciate you writing in. Thanks for your honesty. Thanks for connecting us all. We'll be back this week with an in-depth with Sean and Catherine, which is going to be awesome. It's going to be really great. We'll be posting that by the end of this week. And then we'll be back next week on Monday as we get closer and closer. I think that is going to be our official last off-season podcast.
It will.
That's crazy.
So exciting.
Absolutely crazy. Makes our jobs easier and makes our jobs even more fun than we already have. Hey, with that, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley.
We'll talk to you soon, guys.
Till next time. Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio, or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.